You know, it's really neat that we get to be a part of this, isn't it? It's just, you know, it's really amazing. And, you know, watching, I really look forward to seeing the stories each year that come back. And we get to share a little bit of those, usually in the videos and everything, as we lead up to the Operation Christmas Child promotions. But it is really neat to watch those children just really, their eyes just about pop out of their heads sometimes when they get that gift. That may be the only gift that some of these kids will ever get. And praise God, fortunately, a good number of them received the most precious gift of all, being Jesus Christ. Amen. It's really neat to be a part of that. One thing we ought to want to remind again, that next Sunday we'll not only have the installation service, but we'll also have a very short special call business meeting to vote in some of our folks who've gone through Class 101 and are all ready to become official members. And Miss Johnson's here, and so she's one. Let's see, I'm trying to think, you and your husband, Mr. Johnson, and I mean, he's right there. And then Clint and April, Bill and Ginger, and I think Donna will be baptizing Donna in the next several weeks, and then we'll have a special meeting for her and vote her in. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we come to the time of His Word this morning. Father, I thank You so much that we can just be here today, gathered in Your presence. Thank You for the beauty of this day. But most importantly, Lord, we thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank You for the blessing that we have and the salvation that we have in Him. And Lord, as we continue in our series on our faith, putting it into motion, I just thank You so much, Father, that You are showing each one of us every day different ways that we can truly put our faith in motion. The Christmas boxes that are going to be shipped out is one part of that. The Thanksgiving meal that will be prepared and served at the rescue mission is another. The individual acts of kindness, those individual words of encouragement that our people are sharing, again, part of putting our faith in motion. And we thank You so much, Lord, that You're letting us be a part of what You're doing here in the back mountain. In fact, what You're doing all over this world. So I just lift up this message this morning, Father, and again, I just ask that I stay out of Your way and that Your words just touch each one of our hearts and You speak to us. You guide us. You show us the how we really can be salt so much better than maybe what we were yesterday or the day before. Thank You so much. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to be looking at primarily two passages, the key passages being Matthew 5, verse 13, which says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt becomes tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men." Title of my message this morning is, "We're supposed to be salt as we're going." You know, the Great Commission is part of what drives every one of us as a Christian, and it says that as you're going to make disciples. And so, lo and behold, Jesus wants us to be that salt wherever we are. Amen? I'm going to, you know, Clint showed us a couple of really good illustrations last week, and I want to build off of a couple of those. But what good is salt if it stays in the box? Doesn't do a whole lot of salting, does it? You know, what good is salt if it stays in the bag? You know, and you've got icy conditions out there. Fortunately, we don't yet. But as we look at this, I want us to think about that. You know, the salt doesn't do any good. The salt we have, Jesus Christ, doesn't do any good unless it gets out. Amen? We just don't want to be like the salt in the salt shaker sitting on our tables. Because it doesn't do anything except sit there. It gets damp sometimes, but that's all it does. It sits there. The other passage that I want us to look at as well comes out of Acts chapter 1, verse 8, because this passage actually holds the key to how you and I are going to be salt. Because we're going to talk about the how. I'm not going to be talking about the what so much, but we're going to talk about the how. Verse 8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria, even to the remotest parts of the earth." Now, if you remember last week, Pastor Clint talked to us about how salt, and he reminded us that technically salt really doesn't lose its saltiness. You know, chemically it's still salt, right? That doesn't change. But it can sit in that container for 3 years and it can still be salt. But at the same time, if you put something into it or you mix something else into it, it isn't quite as effective. It starts to be diluted, doesn't it? He had the garlic salt and talked about that. I know most of us like to use garlic salt at times on some of the foods that we use. And you taste the garlic more than you do the salt in most cases, unless you put a lot of it on, right? I mean, it's got a salty taste. Garlic salt does. But, I mean, it's pretty strong in the garlic, isn't it? But he also talked about this other kind of container that kind of gave the impression that it was salt because it looked like it was in a salt container. But what was inside of it really wasn't salt at all, was it? And he said that was kind of the fake salt. It's really the imitation. And if you and I are really going to be the salt that Jesus talked about in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5, we got to know Jesus first as Savior and Lord. I mean, that's where it starts. We have to know him as Savior and Lord. And then to be effective in this salting role, we've got a role of salting, if you will, then we've got to be pure. We don't want to go around salting with garlic salt. You know, what kind of Jesus are we going to be showing if we're showing Baptist salt or Methodist salt? Amen? Or whatever other salt, Catholic salt, or whatever. It doesn't matter. What kind of Jesus are we going to show if we're allowed the salt, Jesus, to get contaminated with something else? Or money salt, you know? Or business salt? Or I'm too busy salt? You know, we put that all together and we stir that around into the salt. It doesn't really look like Jesus anymore, does it? Amen? So we don't want to be that fakey type of salt. Instead, we want to be the real salt. We want people to truly see Jesus Christ in us no matter where we are. And as we look at this statement that Jesus made back in Matthew about how we're to be the salt of the world, I don't want us to focus so much on the what that's supposed to look like, because we can devise all sorts of what's. But instead, I want us to look at really the how, because it's the how is the living it. And that's what we're supposed to be doing, isn't it? We're supposed to be living Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ in us. It's not how do I do that, because man comes up with that kind of stuff. The Pharisees came up with it. 640 reasons, really, 640 different ways. But we want to be the salt that Jesus really wants us to be. And one of the things that, if we don't do it his way, and we don't allow him to really work in us, we end up doing a whole bunch of churchy-looking activities. We end up branding even church events and saying, well, this is Jesus. This is really what it's about. Or this is what Jesus does this because we're good Baptists or whatever. But I want us to go out of here today, hopefully, with a better understanding of how that we can really be that salt and how that salt can really be seen in our lives as we influence other people. Because I think that's what Jesus talked about. And he said a couple, you know, as I said, shared a couple weeks ago before Clint was sharing the last couple weeks, this how thing starts, folks, with you and I believing. It starts with believing. Believing God. Amen? I mean, that's where it starts. It's got to start right there. I got to believe God. Because if I don't believe God, I've already put in my dilute, even if I'm a Christian, if I don't believe God in everything, you know what happens? I start diluting who that salt is. Would you agree? You know, the moment that I let my belief in who really I am in Christ, I start to dilute things. So I've got to believe in Jesus Christ to start with. And I've also got to believe that what Jesus said in the Bible is really true. And then I've got to start practicing what he said in his word in my life so that my life shows Jesus Christ. And I mean, we go around in our lives so often and we say, yeah, Pastor, I believe what God says. But how many times have we said that? Well, I believe what God said, but. Do you ever do that? I have. I mean, I'll be honest about it. I'm not going to lie. We all do. And every time I throw the but in there, guess what I did? I put a little bit of garlic in with the salt. God said it, and I've got to believe it. Whatever, I mean, when he says that this is what we're supposed to look like, when he says these are sins that I really have got a problem with, when he says I want you to be my witnesses, when he said I want you to be kind, when he says I want you to show my love, you know what? He meant it. Now, do I believe that? There ain't no buts. Like my dad said, there ain't no if, and, or but about it. Because there's not. I either believe what God said, I believe in Jesus Christ, and I believe in what God said, or I don't. And every time I say but, I take some garlic and add it into the salt. Amen? Okay. So I've got to start with knowing and believing in my head, and then let that get into my heart. Because when it gets into my heart, I start to show the real Jesus Christ. So I've got to believe the truth that is in his word, because God said it's true. And then I've got to live out of that truth. And this is the cool part. I go, man, that's too much work. Amen? Wouldn't you say that is? Here's the cool part. Acts 1:8, but you're going to receive power. Because the moment that you and I got saved, this is part of God's truth. So this is part of that stuff we've got to accept. The moment that you and I got saved, guess what happened? The Holy Spirit came into my life and into your life, and he took up a permanent residence in there. Thank goodness. That's called the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And you got him, and I've got him. Wow. And because of that, the Bible says that I've also got the power of the Holy Spirit living in me. You've got the power of the Holy Spirit living in you. What's interesting is that apparently we Christians today aren't the only ones that have had problems really getting a grip on that. Because Paul had to remind the Corinthian church and he had to remind the Roman church that they had the Holy Spirit also. Listen what he said here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. He said, but do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Who dwells in you? The Spirit of God. Then if you go back over to Romans chapter 8 and you go down over to verse 9, Paul told the Romans, he said, but you're not in the flesh, but you're in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Wow. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. Wow, okay. So if I'm going to really understand how to be salt in the world and how to really let Jesus live through my life, which is really what it's all about, I've got to start by accepting, I've got to start by knowing God's truth, and I've got to understand that the Holy Spirit, in fact, is in me if I know Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord. Every one of us who know Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord has the Holy Spirit in yourself. You got him, I got him. I don't understand how he does that. That's part of that mystery of God, because I've got all of him and you got all of him. And, you know, mathematically we start going, yeah, but let's see if there's 40 of us sitting in here, for instance. I ought to have 1/40th of him. No, I got 100% of him. His power doesn't get diluted one bit. That's one of the mysteries of God. And I'm glad. Because I got just as much power as John Durfler does. And John Durfler's got just as much power as I do. And we can go, yeah, cool. We've got it. So the other thing, though, that I must do then is once I know Jesus, then you know what I've got to do? If I'm really going to let the Spirit of God work in me and really to appropriate the power, I got to listen to him every day. How do I do that? I'm going to pray, and I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to get into God's Word. And then I've got to do something else. And this is where some, you know, people go, I don't like this word. I got to willfully submit to my God. I have to submit to him. And I have to live a life then that is believing in the truth of all of God's Word in every aspect of my life. And I go, wow. Okay, Lord, I'm back to the hard part again. How do I do that? Well, I do it because I have the power. Acts 1:8. I've got the power. You've got the power. We've got the power in us. And it's out of that power of the Holy Spirit in us and out of the knowledge that the Holy Spirit is living in me. Wow, I've got both of them hooked together now. I know that he's in me and I've got his power now because God said so. Amen? And I believe what God said. Amen? So I've got it. And you've got it. So then as I believe God, and I talk and I listen to God, and I submit to God daily, and I live my life in Christ, and I live out of the power of the Holy Spirit in me, guess what happens? I turned into a really salty Christian. I'm going to be one who God can sprinkle all over the place, and he's going to show Jesus Christ through my life or through your life. Cool. Amen? Now, we all know that we use salt to flavor our food, don't we? Everybody uses salt somehow or another to flavor your food, right? Every one of us does. Most of us have got a salt shaker, or several of them, and they're sitting there on the table, aren't they? Amen? And we keep it to where we can reach over there and grab it and put it on that meat or put it on those vegetables or whatever needs a little bit of salt. So I want us to take that mental picture, if you will, of a salt shaker. And say, okay, that's like my life. If that salt shaker, who filled it up? God filled each and every one of us with the Holy Spirit, didn't he? Did he put in just a smidgen of Holy Spirit in your life? How much Holy Spirit did he put into your life? A whole, every bit of him. He's in there. It's like when I fill up the salt shaker. I take the big container, I put it in, and I fill it up, didn't I? Put the lid on it, it's ready to go, right? I've got a salt shaker full of salt. Your life and my life is full of the Holy Spirit, just like that salt shaker is full of salt. Full. Not partially, 100%. And that means, though, on the table, if I want to get some salt, what have I got to do? I've got to reach over there, I've got to take that salt that's sitting there on the table, and then I've got to turn it upside down and I've got to shake it out a little bit, don't I? And hopefully nobody's loosened up the top. You ever been in a restaurant where some young adults or even some older adults have sat there and removed the top a little bit? And I had that happen to me once. After that, anytime I see a salt shaker that's got a screw on top, I check that rascal. You know, it only happens once because, boy, I mean, it's bad. Nothing you can do with it. But anyway, you take that thing, you turn it over, and you shake a little bit out. But If I really wanted to season this salt, my food with some salt, what did I have to do? I had to make an intentional decision that I was going to do so, did I not? I just didn't sit there and start thinking about it. I didn't talk about, oh, I think, well, you know what, my food might taste a little bit better if I salted my food. Maybe if I will it, it'll move over here and it'll become salty. Didn't happen, did it? I had to intentionally reach over there onto the table and take that and salt my food. Take salt again. Use another example. If I go, let's say it was snowing and it was really icy and all this stuff, and most of us have got deck sidewalks and all the rest of the stuff, don't we? picture this. Oh, my deck is slippery. So I grab up that 50-pound bag of salt. I walk out into the middle of my deck. I slash off the top, and I turn it over, and I walk back in. I salted my deck. All 50 pounds in one spot. That's sure going to melt that whole deck and all the way out to the driveway, isn't it? Or let's say I do this other thing. I go out here, I got my 50-pound bag of salt, and I got my scoop, and I scoop it up. Now my sidewalk runs out like that. And it's, you know, instead of doing this, I just take this whole big thing, whee! And I reach in there, maybe, and I say, oh, this is going to be fun. I just reach in there, whee! Am I doing very much good? I'll throw my microphone around. But would I be doing very much good if I did it that way? No. What do I need to do? I have to intentionally and willfully put that salt in the right place. I'm not going to, you know, I may go get my spreader and spread it to go down the sidewalk. It's kind of like in our lives. If I'm really going to be the salt that God wanted me to be, I don't want to go up to John and dump a whole bag of my Jesus salt all over him. That may not be what he needs. Maybe he does. Yeah. But probably it isn't. He's going, yeah, I do. No. Or if I'm out there in the world, and I'm going to be the salt of the world. Jesus, I'm going to spread Jesus all over the place. Just throwing it all over the place. You know, is there any intent with that? Is it getting into the world that way? Huh? See, what did I say when I was talking about the how? It's done through the power of the Spirit, but it's done also by listening to what God is telling us. And you know what? If God wants me to go and spread some salt into John Durfler's life, God's going to show me that he does, or he's going to bring John into my life, and all I've got to do is be listening to God, you know? And when he says, share with him, all I got to do is open my mouth and share. One of the people in our life group said that we have those 20-second decision points in our lives. When God brings somebody into our life or he puts somebody on our hearts, we usually have about 20 seconds mentally where we make a decision to either do it or not to. There's a lot of truth to that. Because once our minds shift over to something else, it's gone. But if somebody's got something in their lives and God has brought them into our life, we just need to honestly and openly and through the power of the Spirit, because he's the one that gives us the ability to be able to do so. He'll even give us the words and how to say it. All we've got to do is share Jesus as he puts people in front of us or as he leads us to be in front of somebody. And that doesn't give us an excuse to keep our mouths shut. I've got to show Jesus, and I need to tell people about Jesus. And I guarantee you, it's a lot easier to tell somebody if you've already been showing. I don't want to show them garlic salt Jerry. Because number one, they're not even going to want to hear about the Jesus that I want to tell them about. So I've got to keep my salt pretty clean, don't I? Amen? I can't just live as salt, as that pure crystalline salt here in the church house. Because it's out there in the world that God wants us to be showing him and sprinkling him around. Intentionally. It's easy to be salt in here, isn't it? Amen? It's very easy. It's hard when you go to school. It's hard when you go out there in the world. It's hard when you're driving a bus. It's hard when you're at your place of work. It's easy here inside the church house. But Jesus wants us not just to put our salt shaker in the church rack. We're supposed to take it wherever we go. And you could do that because you've got the power to do it in you. And His name's the Holy Spirit of God. And He gives us that power. Believe God, number one. Talk to Him daily. Read His Word daily. Submit your life to Him daily. And let Him just live through you no matter where you're going. As you are going, make disciples. As you are going, as God brings somebody into your life, tell them about Jesus. Amen? As you go in front of somebody, tell them about Jesus. As there's a life experience that you've experienced when Jesus Christ helped you through it, share Jesus. But it starts with believing God. You got to believe Him. And I believe that He gave us the power just like He said. Amen. Acts 1:8, He said, you will receive power. We got it. Because I got the Holy Spirit. And you got the Holy Spirit. We've got Him. So let's just be who He wants us to be. That's the how. You don't have to even take a course. That's the how. Believe God and live in Christ every day. Father, thank You so much for this time we've been able to be together this morning. Thank You so much for Your Word. Thank You so much for loving us. Thank You so much for giving us Your Word. Thank You for talking with us daily. Thank You for giving us Your Holy Spirit. And so I lift up each one who's here this morning, Father. Help each one of us, Father, to truly be pure salt that You can use intentionally every day of our lives. And may each and every day of our lives, we really show Jesus Christ. Lord, there may be some personal commitments that need to be made this morning. I would pray, Father, during our time of response that we do so with You. Maybe some public commitments that need to be made, and if so, Father, I pray that person or persons would come forward and make those public decisions. So I just lift this up to You, Father. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.